Hello guys, welcome back to another episode of Musings of a Tired Nigerian Girl. Let's get into it. So welcome back to another episode of Musings of a Tired Nigerian Girl. Today's episode is very chill, very lax. Please continue your movie. Very chill, very lax. And I don't even know if I'll end up posting this because I feel like it might be too homey. There's a vibe of podcasts, and you see podcasts, some podcasts are very like professional where we go to the studio or it's like dead silence and we record and, you know, it's just very sterile. Let's say in the hospital, clinically clean, abi? And then you have another kind of podcast that is more like chill, you hear the background, I might drink water, and it's just, yeah, I feel like today's, but in the other one. So please, I have different topics in mind, nothing in particular for you people today. Today is Sunday, so I'm very chill. I feel like since I became jobless, I've been very relaxed. I don't know how to explain. I used to have, like, my inner soul used to feel exhausted. My inner soul used to feel so exhausted. The weekend was never enough. And I am currently navigating life differently. There's something about taking a jump start at life and just deciding, okay, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life and everything. In as much as I totally get doing the 9-to-5 and the certainty of the 9-to-5, it's a flex on its own. Don't let anybody deceive you. This life I'm about to enter is not for everybody. It really is not. And there's something nice about having a 9-to-5 that you know you have stable income. So unless you've been pushed to the wall, you've been pushed to the fucking wall, like I had, I will not advise you to just leave your job, sister girl. We need money. And navigating a broke-ass life is not the way. And yeah, so, but one thing I can say in this little break before I start my projects and stuff is the fact that a girl is well-rested. Finally, today, I feel like today's the day I finally got rest. Which I feel like I'm about to enter another week of stress because I have to travel. I'm coming back. I'm going straight to an event. So, I don't know. I just hope that, you know, everything works out for the better. Anyways, I came across this post and it's like the second post I've seen this year about like long relationships and long dating and stuff. My sister is here, I occasionally ask her some questions. So anyways, I came across this post today, courtesy of Hafsa, the Psyche Room. And, you know, it's about like this kind of long relationships, long dating. I saw one earlier this year and the girl was like, okay, she's wearing the same dress she wore that she bought like 10 years ago. She was about to marry this dude like 10 years ago. And for some reason, they didn't get married. And she still had the dress and she's wearing the dress now. She's getting married to him 10 years after. And I saw another one. It's like, oh my God, we've been dating for 15 years and we're finally getting married. I'm sorry. I feel like this is unpopular opinion. Now that I even think about it, I feel like I'm about to drag myself. But no. I will not tell people I've been dating for 15 years. I'm sorry. I feel like a clown. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be doing that. I'll just tell people like, oh yeah, we've known each other for such a long time. And yeah, we are finally here because... honestly, just that wedding, they just carry a big red lipstick and paint my nose and draw my mascara because no, I'm sorry, there's no way I'm going to tell somebody. And I have a genuine question. So now if I've been dating you for 15 years, it's a different thing maybe if you have been doing like on and off, or I guess the reason why you did not marry is family, but even family itself, no. So alhamdulillah, if you have found like your one that your heart is destined for, if that's your destiny husband, so good luck for you. But like generally speaking, like without the whole like destininess involved, if you now propose to me after 15 years of dating, am I supposed to be like, oh my God, so cute? Like, what reaction are you thinking? Because I'm thinking more like, oh, finally, okay, we're doing making a stand off on the floor. Because yeah, I'm supposed to be like, oh my God, so cute. I did not expect this. Oh, clearly I do. I feel like she won't expect it, yeah? What do you think? Sister girl, what do you think? Do you think she expected it? Because me, I know for a fact, I wouldn't have expected it. Because 15 years of dating, I wouldn't expect you to propose to me after the 10-year mark. What am I saying? Me, personally, after 5 years, I'm moving.
She didn't expect it, but she was hoping for it. And maybe she was also like pushing him, pressuring him to do it, and that's why at the end of the maybe it's a short of ring. But that's what she wanted, so she'll be happy about it. That's why when your relationship is getting to 10 years, look, and there's a big chance the ring you're getting is a short of ring. Because you as a woman, you'll be pressuring the man, oh, let's get married. When? And the man will be like, what's the point of getting married? He's already getting the marriage benefits now, 10 years, everything. And you are already married without the marriage contract. So him is not going to want to get married, but you'll be pressuring him because that's important to you. Eventually, he may give you a ring and it may be a short of ring. You may not be expecting it, though, but you'll be hoping for it and you'll be wanting it every day.
So I hope this one is not such a thing of that, because we're not in a relationship, so I like to think it's parental convincing. You know when your parents say don't get married to this person, and you're like, okay, no, that's the person I'm after my heart. And then you people like stay in a relationship and try to convince your parents and stuff. I've heard talk, that's even if his parents convince you, there come a time to listen to your dad or move.
15 years are convincing parents. Come on.
Guy.
That's a lot.
I don't think I can do it. For 15 years waiting.
Me, or
like if you broke in the middle, then you go and come back. I don't know. I feel like maybe I like to think it's a grammar thing, because really, I'm dating you. They actively dating you for 15 years. What are we doing? We are going up for 15 years. We never reach.
Exactly.
It's 15 years old.
Especially if it is marriage you're after. Some people, they're not after marriage. They just want to live together. Some people even tell you they don't want to get married.
But this one is like marriage, a typical Hausa couple.
Then that means it's marriage that they wanted at the end of the day. So I don't
understand. Or maybe they met in high school.
Okay.
That makes sense. Like if they had met, let's say, oh yeah, that makes total sense. Mm. Imagine I was dating a guy that I met when I was SS1, SS2, SS3. Okay. But I'm a sister. Wow. But anyways, you have been dating a guy you met since SS1. I pity every guy around her that like her. She's like, oh yes, high school sweetheart. But imagine you have been dating this guy since you're SS3. Typically, for me, I graduated secondary school when? So, yeah, this is 10 years since I graduated secondary school, but was it 11 years? Something like that. But it's like past 10 year mark. So let's say I graduated high school and I've been dating him. Sister, really?
I mean, if you've been, like, let's say you've been dating for, like, since GS1.
Ah! Voila!
So people are active like that, they start dating early. Okay, let's say...
No, but I'm thinking, it's Kilagbe Kilaju.
XS1.
Okay.
You have been dating, but you are not the kind of person that ever wanted to get married young. Mm. So you say that, oh, we're going to go through university, get a job.
And then, yeah, it makes sense, because I feel like they have a break. Yeah, okay. That's the only time it makes sense. Because you had a break, and then you could go to separate unis, you're not together really, and then people come back, do NYC. Okay. Like, there were active things in their lives.
Yes.
But I can't imagine myself as a grown-ass woman right now. I'm dating somebody for 15 years. Nah.
After you're grown, you're an adult, and you start dating throughout your adult years, you're dating someone for 15 years, throughout your adult years. That's just something else. I don't know. That does not make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
So I think they started since like
maybe like secondary, because they look younger as well.
Adolescent years.
Let me show you their pictures. Sense. They look quite young. So
it makes sense. If they're high school sweethearts,
dating.
But if it's adult years and you started it like after like 20, and this is for 15 years,
You see, they look quite young. So let's say they met when they were in SS2.
After 15 years of dating, girl, why do you even say
15? You see, I won't say it too. Yeah. Like, I won't say it too. I will not be able to say that I've been dating you for 15 years, because I don't think that's a proud thing to say, actually.
And especially since they're from like this community, like
this setting, yeah?
Yes. I feel like why people will say, why didn't you get married earlier?
Very mountain, babe.
And people will be like, 15 years dating, that's haram. So, it's not even supposedly, it's haram.
Mm-hmm.
So why didn't you get married earlier? Like, what's...
That's why I like to think that it's the, like, terminology of speaking. Jigger, like, maybe... You know, some people don't tell you the whole story, and we're not... It's none of our business, but, like, it's not as if she write the whole story inside the chat.
Just known each other for 15 years.
For her sake, we hope that is the case. But, yeah, we wish her good luck in her marriage, and, yeah. Good luck, sister girl.
Yeah.
Hope it was worth it.
Yeah.
really. Yeah. What about the other one I was telling you about earlier this year, that she said she bought the dress 10 years ago for the same man, and they couldn't go on with the wedding, so she 10 years after they're getting married and she's wearing the same dress. You see me, I keep saying it. When I told Nefisa, Nefisa was like, why do I care about the dress? I am not wearing that same dress. I don't care how expensive, how good it look. I feel like it's a bad luck dress. When I called it a bad luck dress, she didn't get it. But like, why am I wearing the same dress?
I guess what they're saying, bad luck.
I'm getting another dress. But
if you think about, like, as the bride, if you put yourself in her shoes,
it's like
the sentimental value of, oh my god, I bought this years ago and now I'm finally wearing it. I manifested this. Yay. You know, that's if you put yourself in her shoes. So I can see why she would wear that dress and feel good about it. It's be like, oh my god, I manifested this. I totally wanted this and I worked towards it. Like, you know.
Okay, oh, she has master's degree. See, as if it's one plan, like it's one goal in life.
It's maybe the goal. It may be her goal. It may have been her goal. Since she bought, you know, when I wanted to graduate, I think I'll buy graduation skirt. It's smaller than my size and I'll walk out, so I'll fit inside. Maybe.
Did you actually walk out?
Did I even buy it? I didn't buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe her, she just like, the sentimental value for her is what made her to feel good even and wear that same dress. Maybe she's not materialistic, because if it's materialistic girl, I doubt she'll wear that same dress.
Me, I'm a materialistic girl. I'm not going to wear it. I'm so materialistic, I'm not going to wear it because I'm just like, no, that era. The reason why we didn't get married, maybe it's even the dress. How do you know? I'm not going to wear this bad luck dress that maybe I didn't get to wear. I will sell the dress. If anything, as much as a materialistic, I am industrious. I will sell that dress and get another. I don't want to even revamp the dress. Anything that comes from that dress, like even the thread, I don't want it. I'm going to sell it.
You can tell she's a good girl because, like, the dress is probably out of style even, and she even wore it.
Funny enough, it wasn't really the style was quite simple. It was a fine A-line princess dad kind of situation, and you know, it's white and sparkly, so but it doesn't mean good girl do the show for face. Good girl no be say because it might be the sentimental thing.
It's sentimental.
Good girl,
but please, why did she buy the dress 10 years ago?
Because she wanted to marry him 10 years ago. They were actually about to get married 10 years ago, but the marriage did not work. A wedding. They didn't shall get married. So they didn't get married. And then 10 years after, they're finally getting married. You see, for me personally, the only reason that me, we stay in this kind of marry you again, or say, is if it was parents convincing. That's the only reason, because she's quite matured. She's not, I won't say she's old, but she looked quite matured. So I'm guessing at the time she wanted to get married. And this is also a house setting.
Oh, really?
So I'm guessing when she wanted to get married to him, she was like 20. She was in her 20s. Or like at most. No, I'm saying she looked very crispy, but she looked like maybe she might have been in her 19, 20s. In like early 20s. So the only reason would be, our parents didn't allow, and we're dating, and or we're on and off. Like then something happened. But the thing is, for me personally, how I think about it, if I'm about to marry somebody, the thing that happened, I will not marry you again.
Something
it has to be something big for me to cancel a wedding.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I would do that again.
I wonder why she cancelled it 10 years ago. Like, what happened? Maybe his parents convincing, actually.
I like to think that because sisters, see, once upon a time, but one thing I always say about myself, I was always consistent. I've always been materialistic. No, actually, I never was materialistic.
What?
I was a very good girl in my mind. I was very thinking, oh my god, you know, and then I grew up and I'm like, sister girl, you stupid bitch. And then, you stupid idiot girl, you better wake up.
Material girl.
I'm a material girl. Anyhow, you want to translate that, you should translate that. But me personally, I feel like, anyways, I wish both of them the best of luck. Honestly, my fear, when it comes to stuff like this, I always do this prayer for them. I always pray that it is worth it and they don't be... That situation doesn't turn against them. Because I can just imagine, God forbid. I'm not manifesting divorce for anybody. But just imagine. y'all go ahead and divorce after 15 years of dating. You see, this will make women lunatic.
How to get back into the dating market?
After which dating market?
Relationship market.
Which relationship market?
Like, you won't
that's not even. You, I've dated somebody.
Exactly, 15 years of your life.
You know those stories I hear that a woman go and stab. This is what used to manifest. Of course, that's anger.
Yes.
Because how can I date for 15 years? Be married and you divorce. Well, I'm not going. I mean, you know that audio that I said from Bridgerton, Queen Charlotte. That she said, go, Charlotte. She said, I am not going.
Yes,
we're going to die on the line. Exactly. Two both of us are going to die on the line.
15 years. Like, that's all she knows. He's not going to say he wants to have her.
I remember when I used to date this guy for the... Well...
She should not even go.
I remember when I used to date this guy. And... when we broke up, you know the person I'm talking about? I was just like, what is this mess? I feel like it's part of the reason I was even angry, because it's like, are you kidding me? I wasted my time and stuff like that. So yeah, that's why I tell you, they're nice, but you stupid ass bitch. Not again, you a bitch ass girl. Like, before I was like, no. But anyways, you grow with age. Misha, I'm not just going to be doing that, dating you for 15 years. And I'm not even going to, even if I mistakenly date you for 15 years, I'm not even tell anybody that. Even if I was on and off with you, I'm not going to say it, because I feel like a clown. Yeah, I'm not going to be telling anybody that. Anyhow, you want to translate that.
Yes. Even when I hear 10 years, I used to feel like, what were you doing for 10 years?
Me personally, I would advise a girl to be there and be dating you for 15 years.
To be,
honestly.
Yes.
Because there's one thing I always say about, if a guy wanted to, he would. And the fact that in 10 years, he didn't feel it necessary for him to be married to you. The thing, again, is clearly you know that she's a girl, yeah? And... Mm-hmm. If she's not married, it's open avenue, like...
For bullying and all this.
It's not always to be bullying. It's not even that, but like, see, how will I say this and make it cute? Well, it's cute. The thing is, I am in my prime. I'm a hot cake girl. I'm a beautiful ass girl. And I go outside and there are men everywhere. I'm sorry, if I find a viable candidate for this marriage, I'm going to go. What did you think this was? I'm just going to sit and wait for you. Clearly, if you love somebody, you're going to wait and, I guess, pray and do all that cute stuff together for a while and hope that, you know, he would finally marry you or whatever those girls that do that do. But really, like, what did you think was going to happen? Again, her culture, she's a Hausa girl. She's not about to sit down and waiting for you for 10 years. That's what I hear this time of 10 years. It's very, and it's not popular. It's a rare thing, you know. Yeah. So when I hear things like, oh, she was waiting for 10 years, I'm like, wow. The only way it makes sense is if she was, like, in uni, in secondary school when you guys met. Yeah, if not, I don't see a Hausa girl waiting for you for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Yoruba girl might be that foolish. Yeah, but not a Hausa girl. That's why I like them girls. They be smart as fuck. They be getting their lives. No, really, they be smart as fuck. Because you need to put yourself first. I'm sorry, do you get what I'm saying? Like, yeah. A guy that is, I'm dating a guy and he's not serious about the marriage and whatever it is. And we're just dating for just air. Because at this junction, it's just you're just chatting air to me. And you still expect me to not have another guy.
Exactly.
Or be open outside. Like, be open to another relationship or find a better candidate. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to say that I'll be waiting for you. What do you think this is? Especially when there's no viable reason. You know, like, if maybe he is not well-to-do and he wants to do one or two things, it's a different thing. And I don't believe in even leaving that one open. You know, some people, they say, oh, right now, I'm working. I'm not ready for marriage. So when will you be ready?
And when you get ready, will you still want this girl?
Exactly.
Will you want a higher, you know...
Because if you want to be... I feel like, apart from that self, if you want to marry the girl, you will make yourself ready. That's why I don't care people that don't know how to plan and everything. Miba, if I want a bag, I start saving early. If I know that I want that bag, I will start saving my money for the bag. I know the month I'm going to buy the bag. I will even tell you, okay, I want this bag. I'm saving maybe in June.
Mm-hmm.
I'll buy my bag. That shows you that bag is important to me. Do you get what I'm saying? But you can't just keep a girl and be like, your biggest excuse is, oh my God, right now I don't have the money. So don't you have a job? When will you have it? When will you get your life together? I'm not saying you get your life together in months. You can put a year mark on it and be like, okay, by end of next year or in 2 years' time, I'll be ready. Do you get? But you can't just sit and cross your leg and be doing nothing about the relationship, nothing about your situation, and then keeping a girl around and talking about, oh, I love you, but right now, you know, I don't have the finances. You're not ready to marry. And that girl needs to go. That's what it means.
Yeah.
She needs to bounce.
Like, they never get the...
They never get the memo.
People always like, I put so much into this relationship. I don't want it to just, like, stop. Because of... It's sunk cost fallacy. You know sunk cost fallacy now?
Mm.
Like, when you put so much effort into something, and because of the effort you put previously, you don't carry yourself out of it just because of the effort you put inside.
Just in and be thinking
I'm thinking of the effort you put, the money you put, the effort
it's
you
that
put.
Effort that will even motivate me to leave your house.
The effort is what is to motivate them to stay. And even though, like, you know that this is not even going to be successful, but because of you are so hung up in this effort that you put, the money you put inside, you are going to stay there. And a lot of women, that's what used to do them, like, I put so much effort into this relationship, how can I just leave like that? So they'll stay there till the end, waiting for greener grass somewhere.
If the greener grass come, would they even see it? Because it sounds to me like they are still stuck up on their effort. So when you go, you open your eyes, see the greener grass. No, because when you open your eyes, you go see greener
grass. And then when the greener grass says, finally, God has answered my prayer. God has been asking your prayers still. God has been showing you the way, but you don't want to go because you are stuck on effort and time that you put into the relationship. And that is why, like, when 5 years is going, 10 years, you put so much effort, time, emotion. Yes, as a woman, those years are precious. So those alone, only a strong woman, mentally strong, emotionally strong, will be able to remove herself from that. Because the rest will just be like, oh my God, I put in so much time, effort into this relationship. I just can't leave. We have to see it to the end. And to me, I don't even like sunk cost fallacy. Even if I put all my effort, all my emotion, all my money inside, if I see that it's becoming nonsense, I'm going to pull myself out of it.
I swear to God, you see that effort that is making people stay? It's what me is to make me. Because if I do something, I feel like madness is doing something over and over again, expecting the same result.
Exactly.
So if I put myself... And I see that this person don't want to have sense. Best believe.
They'll stay there because of they're just thinking about how they put so much time, effort, and everything into the relationship. They'll stay there. Like, they'll say, let's keep persevering.
So you would get yourself into a marriage based on time and energy I put into your relationship.
Yes.
And you marry a stupid-ass person. So you're setting yourself up for disaster.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you a story. I saw it in... I saw the story in, like, where, I think YouTube Shorts, a girl was telling her story. It was so stupid. And the funny thing about the story is that it made sense to her. So, she was with her boyfriend. She was with her boyfriend. And then they tried to have a baby. I don't know, they wanted to have, you know, they didn't want to get married yet. They want to have a baby first, that kind of thing. They had a baby, she had a miscarriage. That's a sign that maybe don't have another baby, but they say that they'll try it again. They tried to have another baby, she had another miscarriage, and she said that those two miscarriages is a sign from God that she should keep trying.
That's
with that
she...
man. Yes, so that's how she continued to try. She tried again, she had a miscarriage, she stayed with the guy.
Like, God really helped her, but continue.
Look, and she tried so many times before finally she had a baby. And for her, the way she translated that is that all those times she persevered, she continued to believe, she continued to stay strong, and finally God has done it for her. For me, in that kind of situation, I'll be like, maybe it's a sign that we should go our separate ways. But she stayed because of all the hurt they've experienced, trauma bonding that they've done. Oh my God, I lost my baby with this man, so I must have a baby with him. Like, I lost our baby, so I must recreate that child back.
Wow.
That's what she, to her, that was, and she literally, when she said, in fact, people in the comment section were like, I think there's a sign from God that you should have a baby with that man. I think that was a sign that you should have separated. But to her, she was like, no, like, she lost the baby, so she must create another baby.
Wow.
Like, God helped them, and at the end of the day, God answered their prayers. After having so many miscarriages, and she still, like, all the effort she put in, she didn't want to leave because in her mind, she has to see it through. She has to have a baby.
She did not try to get married, but she tried to have a baby.
It's the baby that she wanted. She lost the first baby, so she wanted to replace that baby that she lost.
Wow.
And I think that a lot of women actually do that. like based on effort they put inside the marriage situation, they don't want to leave. They are persevering. That's why in my mind I always used to tell myself, because when I think of a strong woman, I think of women that I don't even like I think of women who are persevering. Oh my god, let me persevere. That means I'm telling myself that, look, I don't want to be strong, girl. I don't want to be a strong woman. No one should call me strong woman, because when people think of strong woman, they think of people that women labor. That carry the world on their head.
Women that labor.
That do work, that persevere, that stand the trial.
Hey, I'm not like, a strong woman. Do you know? Uh-huh. But talking about strong woman or not strong woman, but I feel like growing up, I used to think the strong woman was that. Like, yeah. When I was in secondary school, kind of like, you know, when I say that she was a stupid ass bitch, you're laughing. But that girl, honestly, I used to think that, okay, a strong woman was somebody that was very perseverant, somebody that was hardworking, somebody that, like, a labor, someone that do some labor. And everything. Right now, a strong woman is a girl that know how to work smart and not hard, that have a CEO job, have her businesses, cross her leg and go to some parts. Like, you don't see these girls that go to yachts,
that don't care,
and just travel, and they have all their ducks in a row. For me, that's a strong woman. She has her businesses, she has her flow of income. You know, a woman that can get her own, a woman that can pay her way is a strong woman to me. Not necessarily doing labor and stuff like that.
Most people still think that strong women are labor women.
Exactly. It's the same way that most women think. See, my dear, it's the same thing with people that think that wife material is a laboring girl.
Exactly.
When people tell me, you know how people say, people have not told me that often. I've not put myself in situations where people have told me that often, but I've heard it once or twice or three times. I've heard a couple times that they've said, oh, you are my wife material. In the beginning, the first person that told me I was the wife material was my boyfriend at the time. And then it was because I had a full day of labor. I just finished labor. When I say she's a stupid ass bitch. No, I had a full day of labor. I was laboring the whole day. So you know how we talk now and I'm like, oh, hello, how's your day? And I'm like, today I was so stressed. It was so stressful for me. Like, I was doing this and I was doing that and I was doing this. And I'm so tired. He goes on and he's like, oh, wife material. I said, God. Even at that small age, but I thought I was like, you know when you scramble your what do you call this thing? You frown your face, and I'm not in anger, but I was like confusion and thoughts, deep thinking. And I'm like, but why would he call me my material if I'm doing this? But I just smiled and I said, But then the other people that call me wife material, like since I became an adult, I found it as Hikma, calm down, calm the fuck down. As a signal that I begin to be doing the most.
That is a sign to stop.
It's like, calm the fuck.
Then they call you back, oh, I need to stop.
Yeah, I need to reduce this work I'm doing. It's becoming too much. Because people think a wife material is a laboring woman, a quiet laboring woman that hear word and she pounds some yam. I don't want to be that.
I had a friend there, like, we're in the hostel and there was a washing machine that she could use. And washing machine is not expensive, it's cheap. But she chose to wash all her clothes with her hand. And she had a lot of dirty clothes, like a lot. She doesn't wash very often. That's how, as she was washing, when she was washing, she said, I'm a strong woman. I was like, who's saying you? Girl, you should have gone to put your clothes in the washing machine.
You have
to
prove it.
$1. Say, I'm a strong woman. I was like,
it was $1?
$1 for one round.
It was expensive. Like, sometimes I remember going home with a bit of £3 something. Like
£2. Now maybe, but I feel like she could have afforded it, even though it was £3. She can afford it, but she chose to wash all the clothes with her hand
to prove a point.
And then afterwards, she now said that
where was she washing this woman? Because he did your odon bear. So
no,
where was she washing?
Bathroom.
She sat down and she's no, you're standing. Yeah, it's a deep sink.
Yeah, it's standing.
Yeah,
it's
we
not
have
sitting.
That too as well. It's so standing. You're standing and washing and
yes, and she and the fact that. She didn't even care that somebody may want to use it to bathroom. She just washed everything. She said, I'm a strong woman. And one day,
maybe
too, she did labor and she called herself a wife material.
So maybe that's why she doesn't take the easy way out. Do you think that she intentionally, maybe she has the money, but she intentionally thinks, oh, I need to be a strong woman.
Or maybe she doesn't know that it's dumb. And she just thinks this is legit not okay.
I feel bad for girls like this. Honestly, I feel like they don't have people to tell them.
Just go and wash your clothes with
Just go and wash your clothes with washing machine.
No, she wanna be a strong woman. The cringe part is even her saying that she's a strong woman after doing all that labor. Like, she had so much dirty clothes. Like, it was a lot. It was so much that it took, like, 3 hours to wash and rinse everything.
Something that you would have used 17 minutes in the washing. In the washing machine, or 20 minutes in the washing machine. And then,
after I washed that, I can say, I'm a strong woman. I washed all that. I was like, strong woman. Keep it up.
So let me ask you a question, since I've by first integrated you to this episode.
What is your tired Nigerian... Do you have a tired Nigerian girl thing? One, what is it? Secondly, what is generally pissing you off, or something that you've come into realization of recent that you would like to share with us?
I feel like my tired Nigerian girl moment is just having to care about what the people on the road think. It's just so inconvenient. Like, you know, yeah, when you're going out, you have to make sure your clothes is not transparent. Some idiot is going to look and come and approach you. Somebody is going to have audacity. Like, I just want to go out dressed the way I want to dress. It's not like I want to go out naked or with transparent clothes, but I don't want to think about the fact that, somebody might see this and think it's bad and come and approach me even and try to make me feel bad about it. And that's in Nigeria, that's going to happen. Like, I remember the time when I looked at myself in the mirror on the road. I don't even apply anything, just looked at myself. And somebody passed and said, "Are you a prostitute? Why are you looking at yourself on the mirror in the road?" So, yeah, I think that sometimes I just like, frustrating.
You know, when you told me that thing, yeah, I was like, that looking at the mirror on the road might be a code for like what prostitutes used to advertise themselves.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I totally get you, because even me sometimes it's like annoying.
It was broad daylight.
Yeah, I'm telling you, see, in this place, but one thing that you see this not about, they like to act as if we don't have some prostitutes among us. They wear hijab and prostitutes in the afternoon. That's facts. So sometimes they might have a code that you may not know about. I remember some years ago when I was coming back from Abuja in the night, I took the night train. When I was coming back and we passed Adewa House. So you know that is enough club, that is the enough club. From the beginning of Adewa House Road, like way in the beginning, had nothing. There was only those florists, those roadside florists that sell like herbs and plants and stuff. You will see a group of two girls in long ass hijabs every 2 meters. They were prostitutes. So they want to act as if, they ain't got no prostitutes here.
Like
they definitely be doing that shit in full ass hijab. What am I saying? Not hijab. It's a burqa. Long ass, like, hijab to the floor. And the mirror thing might be cold, and that maybe that's why he asked you, or he was just being audacious. That men do. Men have audacity. Like, because I don't know why you approach me and be asking these stupid questions.
I was even like a child, like, it was a long time ago, you know, Benin Street. That's where it happened. Say that, am I? Another moment that I don't, please, what's happening to the internet? Because, like, jobs online, when you apply, why don't they ever give you feedback? Also, why are Nigerians not direct when it actually matters? Like, Nigerians, trust Nigerians to be rude, to be bad, to just insult you directly when you anger them or say something to them. But when they're supposed to be direct, like when you want to do them service and they don't want the service, why don't they just come out and say, "Okay, no, I don't want the service. We don't need you at the moment. We're not interested at the moment." Like, why can't they be direct when it actually matters?
I feel like that thing is like a professional mindset, and it pisses me off the most. And I don't want to sound like this, but I feel like, you know, I told you we had this conversation. It might be because how we think is we're used to a different setting.
Yeah,
I am used to, like, coming from the UK, I'm used to people, like, sending emails to reject you. I'm used to people telling you, like, "Okay, sorry right now. We don't need your service." However, I'm used to people say, I'm used to myself comfortably say, "Oh, sorry, I'll take a second opinion on that." And then you come here and people don't even give you feedback. Do you know how many things you apply for online and they don't even have the courtesy to send you an email rejecting you? They just leave you in a limbo. Secondly, people ask for your service and they just ghost you. Like, even when I meet people on Instagram and I ask for vendors, maybe like I want to buy cake or something, and I ask how much it is and you about your service, like, do you do delivery and stuff? If I do end up wanting to, because sometimes I'm just like having cravings, I don't really want to order cake, but I want to know like how much it is and how you do your stuff.
Yes.
And by the time I finish talking to you, maybe the craving have gone. Or I have finally spoken to myself. I don't need your services, but I would message them, like, okay, sorry, I'm very happy, like, thank you, I've gotten all the feedback I need. I'm not going to be purchasing from you right now.
Me, what I would say in that situation is that, oh, I just wanted to know the price, maybe for next time or something.
Same. I'll just be like, oh, yeah, thank you, I just wanted to know the price, maybe I'll try next time, and stuff like that. But people don't say that. Ask your service, you have spoken and finalized everything. Just made payment, and then they leave you in the limbo, and they don't say shit, and you are there planning. Thank God you didn't even, like, go ahead and, like, make financial, like, decisions based on that person. And if you do business, that's one thing I've personally learned in doing business. If I don't see a lot, I don't be standing up for shit. Like, I won't even prep myself mentally. I won't even mentally prep if I don't see. And then the second thing you said about dressing, yeah. Again, when I was in the country, I would dress however I wanted. I don't think about outside. The only reason why I think about outside is, oh, is it cold enough? Is it hot enough for this dress? But I find that in Nigeria, when you're here, you have to think about people. I can't promise. See, I can't tell you how. The last time I didn't think about outside people when I dressed was before I came back to Nigeria. But since then, you have to think about them because they have audacity, especially in this north. I'm telling you, they will walk up to you and ask you why you are not dressed. Like, they have audacity. And honestly, it's sad. It's sad that you have to comply and you just have to dress to, how would I say, let people not disturb your life. And I feel like it's a problem that we girls experience as well.
Because it's definitely girls. Because
nobody's approaching a boy and saying, Mesa Baksa, I want that. No. But everybody want to say, why did you see me? Should they say, to lower your fucking gaze? So if you are lowering your gaze, you wouldn't see me, and then you have the audacity to approach me personally to ask me, sister, why are you not having this on, or why are you having that on? I feel like it's a guy thing, honestly, and it's really sad. And here, even if you are decent, I feel like they are so hypersexualized as well, because even if you are decent in the sense of the word, you are, like, modestly dressed, you're decent, they expect you to completely cover up, like, wear a blanket. I remember that time, you know, this man, I can't remember his name, but one of these malams used to teach me, he was like, oh, in the Sahaba's time, their hijab was made of, like, blankets. We are supposed to be wearing a thick thing and covering up. See, I am tired of men putting the results of their faith, or, like, the importance of their faith on women. Like, you are not a dog.
Women to help them out in every situation. If women
even with your faith,
that means you will not be able to look and you will not get anything.
But why must I go to that extreme level for you?
To help them out. Because I don't know. Because they say, like, oh, if you don't wear the blanket hijab now, you're tempting us.
Then it's your fault, whatever you see.
Exactly, it's your fault. But not for in their head, it's your fault.
If there's no men in the world today, or you wake up tomorrow and there's no single man on earth, what will be the first thing that you do?
Honestly, I'll just...
I'll go for a fucking run at 5:30 in the morning.
My depression will disappear and I'll become very hopeful of life.
Of life? See, of the life. First thing I'll do, you see that my this tights, I'm going to go on a run 5:30 in the morning. I'm going to go on a run 8 p.m. That's what the first thing I'll do. It's just, I'm just going to run and I'm going to wear my sports bra and maybe a t-shirt because it's cold out. But, like, I'm just going to dress for myself first.
Right.
Literally, that's the first thing I'm going to do. Then, for me, tired Nigerian girl thing right now is the state of Kaduna and all the fucking strike and stuff like that. Oh, and strike, yeah. I feel like, and I've said this before, but there's something about Nigeria, right, that everything gets swept under the rug. I'm still going to ask this question. Okay, I read the news that there's a current... I read... That day I was reading the news to you guys about how, like, that Chinese guy who killed that Kano girl was on trial. So, alhamdulillah, at least that is going on. Because before I read that, I didn't hear anything. Why are we not hearing it? The moment we stop hearing stuff, stuff gets swept under the rug and we don't know what happened. Mariam Sanda, what happened? The police officer that killed the... lawyer last year December in Lagos, what's happening to that? What is happening to the Chinese guy? Apparently he's on trial. They have moved for adjournment now. There's another person again, another thing that happened. Mobad. I'm not here.
I put it on water. People heard some things about
I'm not hearing anything about Mobad again.
Because of the people got engaged.
But now we're not hearing anything again.
Oh, I heard that they put the blame on a nurse, that is the nurse that is the nurse that killed him, and they now that's what they did.
Now is a rumor since then. Exactly. But recently, like within this month, yeah. I've not heard anything about that.
Yes.
Where is it? The last thing I heard was Naira Marley and Sam Larry saying they are going to sue the magistrate court and the police for 20 million each for wrongful detention based on fundamental human rights and stuff. That's the last thing I heard. So now where are they? Are they still in that cell? Have they been let on bail? What's happening?
Yes, and something about Nigerians is that Nigerians have this mentality of we move. So if they don't hear, they will go. Nigerians have even stopped talking about it.
Honestly, in Nigeria, they're quick to move.
Yeah, we move.
We move so we quick. Move.
And that's the mentality Nigerians have.
You have what? Is there water there? I'm so thirsty. Like, the air is so dry. Harmattan is setting in. And do you know what it is? In the daytime, it's very dusty. Then at night, it's just dry. I used to have bad nosebleeds during Harmattan. Because it's so dry.
Yeah.
And this our area is so dusty. Like, God. Sometimes you wish you can put hydraulic in your neck. Because the air is it's like it's so dry. And it's not something that water would necessarily moisturize.
Yes, it's true.
I feel like watching Grey's Anatomy. What is that American series you are watching right now? That you used to watch? Invasion, yeah? You stop talking about your invasion.
Yes, because there's no midnight data to download it.
And data is something else.
I want to finish it. Just remain like 2 or 3 episodes for you to finish it.
For me, Grey's Anatomy is like my comfort show. It used to be New Girl, the comedy, the sitcom. I finished it and then one idiot came and formatted my laptop. That laptop is spinning because I remember I had a lot of things on this laptop. I had Prison Break complete. I still have it. I got it from somebody. I had a New Girl from episode 1 to the end complete. I had Vampire Diaries, the originals. I had, there's a series now that I can't find, Supernatural. And these things are hard to find right now because me, I even want to download it. I can download it in the daytime. But it's hard to find because Supernatural is 2004. I'll be 2007, 2008. Where am I supposed to find it? The internet, people who save, they have closed their page since that time. Do you get it's hard to come by? I have a friend that has it, but we have not really been talking in a minute. So going there to shamelessly collect movies is quite shameless.
I'm watching Ugly Betty again.
Yeah. I finished it. I think I watched the last episode.
I wanted to watch it because I was just feeling like, I felt like watching Salty. I felt like seeing Wilhelmina.
Wilhelmina Slater, Max, that girl in the reception.
Amanda,
Betty, their dad, their brother.
So annoying.
Betty's annoying, honestly. She do some goody two shoesness. She do kiss ass behavior.
Goody two shoes.
Do you ever feel like this when you're watching a movie, but there's a certain vibe it gives you, like?
Yes, definitely.
There's a way you feel. There's a certain nostalgia. Like every day has a theme for me. I don't know if people, normal human beings are like that. But when I wake up, there's a theme to every day. And some days are replica of what I felt in the past. So it's like nostalgic. I woke up today and it's reminding me of a certain day last year. And I kind of want to do what I did in that day last year. And some days I wake up and it's like today feels like that day that we used to like drink pap in the morning and watch Betty. Do you get? Like there are some days, like past, after my secondary school, there was a time where I was just stuck. And I was just like waking up and in the afternoon, I'll do nothing. And then the like mid-morning, I'll just watch Ugly Betty. And sometimes I feel like I want to replicate that. Then some nights, recently in my nights, I have been feeling like last year without the pain of last year. There's a way it felt like between my coming back to the house from the hospital vibe and like January. There's a way it felt. I don't know. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like sometimes you feel like certain, okay, well, for me, sometimes I feel like certain times in the past. Like today, I'll be like, oh, today feels like a certain day last year, and I would want to vibe according to that day. It's when I'm a widow. Yeah.
Well, I guess it's.
Another thing I'm happy about is same for good things.
Yeah, good
things. Definitely. Another thing I've been feeling like recently is I completely lost my train of thought. The thinking was there and it's gone.
So you can't remember what I was going to say.
I swear, I can't remember.
I
Old is it old age?
Been old age.
No, I'm thinking whether that's why it's old age.
Oh, old age.
I swear I was thinking about something and I lost it. The year is ending. Is there anything you're looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to starting studying sessions. Mm. Yeah.
You have your exam in July, yeah?
Yeah, inshallah. And what else?
I am looking forward to next year because I feel like I would have a clean slate. In as much as I feel like for me personally, I have started a new chapter in my life because of this recent changes in my life. I don't know. I feel like I'm waiting for new year. For some reason, I feel like maybe if I just flip that page to a new year, I can properly plan my life. Secondly, I'm looking forward to the countdown. I have never been. And this year, like, Hawa asked me to be, like, we should go as vendors. She sells amazing teas and I'll do amazing pastries. And we can sell, like, cute cupcakes and maybe hot sandwiches or cold sandwiches with the teas. Yeah, I might do sandwiches.
Egg sandwich.
Maybe I'll do chicken sandwich as well. Mm. Club sandwich. Ah, I don't have money for that place. But I would like to do sandwiches. I feel like it's something you don't see people sell. Mm. And I feel like Nigerians, why don't we eat cold sandwich? I feel like British people it's eat a lot of cold sandwich.
Vibes and our culture.
Because you see that egg sandwich, it would be normally in the fridge. Mm. If you go to the UK, like, it's in the fridge.
Nigerians don't really eat cold food. Except it's like snacks.
Even the snack. Somebody with me, I was still like going under hot meat pie.
Cupcake. Yeah, some people even prefer to warm their meat.
When you go to Austria Bakery, they ask you, would you like meat microwave? Mm. Actually, Nigerians don't eat cold food.
Yeah, we
know. We eat like our culture is deep-rooted in lots of hot stuff. Yeah. And we don't eat sweet things. I might start something about that, you know? If I'm able to be in a situation next year where I'm in my own place, I might do like a cooking series on YouTube or something. Yeah, we don't eat cold food.
Yeah,
and we don't eat so sweet. Hot. Like, you know how you like sweet chili chicken, sweet soy sauce, sweet chili sauce.
People do it.
Yeah, people do it. But like, it's not in our culture to put sugar in sauce, food.
The one we make the
we are mostly snacks. Savory.
Yeah, mostly savory for sure. Even though most of our snacks are like savory, like egg roll, meat pie, fish pie.
But you know, I like the northern culture when it comes to snacks. They have, I think they have lots more snacks than us Yoruba people.
And I think the rest of the Nigerians.
Honestly, like, that. And I feel like the rest of Nigerians so have savory snacks. But Hausa have sweet snacks. Like Guliswa, Tomadara, Iloka. So things good. They are mostly sweet.
And it's mostly
Nigiri, Cherubi Malam. All those things are sugar. Nigeria has a beautiful cultural, like, foods and stuff like that. I wish Nigeria was safe enough for me to do a road trip.
I know, right?
I wish Nigeria was safe. Nigeria, God of mercy. Yo, we're actually cheating ourselves in this country. Imagine Nigeria was safe, like Belarus now, or like the UK, how safe it was. You know, girls, like, literally wake up and like, oh, let's go road trip. Mm-hmm. And you just go with your friends and you drive as a girl on the road. A road trip.
Outside at one.
And nobody's disturbing you. As far as you have your nothing, as far as you have your money to be buying your fuel, you just go. But me now, even if we didn't Kaduna, if I say come, let's go in the night, let's go to cars quickly. Who even
you
allow you?
You
did not even carry between here and there, take you for vanishing.
That's what I was saying. Assalamu alaikum. You just
disappear. Yeah. But honestly, in my life, I really like to do a road trip. And just like go somewhere, like, you know, we can drive and just go to Kwara State. I feel like we're adults enough that if Nigeria was actually safe and the road was a straight highway, you know, like outside the country, they don't have all these potholes and shit. Mm. The road is just a straight highway. If everyone is a straight highway and we don't is safe, you're not afraid that they'll come and carry you to vanishing or carry you to be doing sex work or carry you to be burning children or you know.
Mm.
We can just say, okay, let's go Kwara in December, get the car, put fuel, and we just go. Just think about it like a sister road trip and we can check maps and just drive away or drive off. And even if you get lost, it's something you can just call somebody, hello, oh, we got a little detour. But look, you can't try that. And the world is not even safe. See Palestine fighting for its life. You have Israel just there acting stupid and foolish. Then you have Sudan in shambles, and then you have Congo in Ya Salam. I feel like we need to come together and do like Tunafla for the world in December, because no man.
Ukraine and Russia,
Ukraine, and everywhere is in like
it's always
something.
Some shenanigans going on. Like,
do you think the world can ever be peaceful and just be like peaceful?
The way they designed it, it can. I don't think so, because the politics is too messy and just necessary.
The politics is too like messy. It's too cheating a system, cheating some people. There's always someone that is getting cheated, and they want to fight back. That's it. And the thing is that I think they miscalculated. People that designed this whole system, they miscalculated the nature of human beings. The truth about human beings is that no matter how you try to sedate someone and keep them quiet and push them into a corner, one day they'll realize they have nothing to lose and they'll fight back.
Amen. Amen to that.
They will.
The more you try to keep someone subservient,
yes,
they will. And amen. Preach, yes. Preach.
And that's what they miscalculated, because a lot of people are fighting back now. Most of this war that's happening is fighting back. And I don't know if they miscalculated or they just believe that they can continue to push them.
Yeah, now the because they are bullies.
Yeah, because they think that
a bully will never think that you stand up for yourself, or you fight back or anything like that.
Eventually, fear doesn't last. Some people just wake up and realize that I don't have nothing to lose, so I'm just going to fight. I'm just going to fight back. That's the thing.
That's what happened at my workplace. One day, I'll just you guys about my workplace. Oh, the patriarchy. Oh, the misogyny. The misogyny. Oh. Being a girl is not easy. Well, like, because, what come on, if you nonsense lawyer, being a girl is not easy.
Some parts of the world. Some parts of the world, it's okay.
Maybe if you're in New Zealand. Maybe if you're not in New Zealand, where they are pressed, they have sense. I'm sorry.
But a lot of places in the world actually respect women. And
like where?
Equal. What do you mean, like where? A lot of places.
Like where? I don't know this place you speak of that like respect
European
women.
Countries.
They respect women. They see us. They don't. Do you know the thing? They're not respected, though. It's just that they're not as trash as here.
Okay, they are more decent human beings.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
A bit.
And they don't make women's lives so ridiculously hard and stuff like that.
I beg to differ. I feel like all of us, we are just shit. It's just that some people are a bit better than us in the shitness.
Not all, of course, not all parts of Europe.
I don't think there's a part of Europe or part of the world where a woman is completely happy. Like, there's a group of women that are like, okay, we are good. If they don't cheat you in the workplace, it's like, man, I'm telling you, it's not possible. This face of this earth, there's not such a place.
They are completely happy, but they are satisfied.
In what? In work?
Look, I think there is.
I'm not saying they are satisfied.
Women
like,
are able to do what they want to do. They are able to
like
climb ladders. Get there's this country. I don't know. I don't want to make mistakes, but there's this country, this Sweden, in which I don't know if it's Sweden, but men and women like politically rule according to the rules of the country are equal.
The thing is, in the rules,
but of course, men will still act the way they want to act, regardless of rules. But according to the rules, they are.
Because the thing is, bruh, the way I look at it, I'm not trying to be like that pessimistic person.
According to the law.
But there's no, except if there's, the only place I know is one place in Kenya, where only women live there.
It's
a village of women. Please, people should send me the logistics address to that place, that's because I'm gonna go there. I want to live there for a year. Only women live there. I feel like that's the only place in this earth where women can say, okay, yes, we live here, and yeah, we are happy. I feel like that, honestly, because this world, even if they write it in the constitution of Nigeria, it says we're all human, we're all equal. It don't be like that too. And you know the thing,
more decent people, decent sensible men than some other places, they don't actually behave stupid.
It's not about the men. I feel like it's about the place they are. Like, you can't dispute the fact that if you think about the state of women's lives in Nigeria compared to the UK, for example, the women in the UK have it better because UK is better than Nigeria. So they are fighting for a different struggle. While we are here fighting for your right to education and right to this, they are fighting for your right to abortion and right to keep their money. Women are fighting anywhere, regardless whether they are driving Bentleys or anywhere. I feel like women are always going to be fighting. There's places where they don't allow women to drive and all of these things. They have it a bit worse, I guess, than us. It's just a situation of who has it better. But I don't think. Yeah, I feel like
some places actually have it okay, like really good.
In what aspect? Super... In the life aspect or what?
Which aspect are you talking about? You?
I'm talking about everything.
No,
for example, in for not in Kaduna, but for example in Nigeria now, mm-hmm. Some places women are not allowed to have good education. Women are, see how you go everywhere and they have been kidnapping all the women in every school. Secondly, in some places in Nigeria, it's even this year, some 10 years ago, that women are allowed to inherit. Women are not allowed to inherit their father's things in some places in Nigeria. So thirdly, even a right to go to a job. And this work we are talking about, even in Nigeria, they tell you that, see our office, my former office. They'll tell you that.
But those places, they don't have this problem. Education, anybody that wants it, if your education is free.
Mm-hmm. What about abortion? Abortion rights.
Okay, some European countries, they have problems with abortion, but some don't.
That's what I'm saying.
Like Poland, because of their religion, blah, 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 abortion is
illegal.
Yes. So people that want to get abortion need to go to another country.
That's a problem for women there.
Yes, there, that's a problem for women.
Do you know that there's a gender pay gap? Even in the UK, where it's like men are being paid more than women.
Yeah, gender pay gap is something that I feel like...
And then in Korea, women are not even able to have children. Do you know why? The country does not say women cannot have children. You can have children, but when you go to your maternity leave and come back, you have no job. Things like that, I feel like women are slighted. Yeah. It's just different in different places.
Yes, a different place. That's what I'm saying. It's not everywhere, but some places...
That is bullshit, by the way.
Belarus. Women have 3 years maternal leave and they can come out to their job.
South Korea is shit. I'm sorry.
Yeah, South Korea is a developed country, but when it comes to women...
I was watching something on Instagram and they're talking about how, like, oh, the birth rate in Korea is, like, very low. Mm. To the point where I've been seeing a lot of YouTube mamas that I follow saying that, wow, like, if you have a child, the government give you some money for... Thank you for having this child.
Yes.
They take care of your child. They give you, like...
Yes.
Pay for, the child birth is free. Nanny. They pay for the nanny for you. They do this and that for you. And I feel like it's because women are not born. And then yesterday, I came across this Instagram. I think I sent it to myself. I came across this Instagram post talking about how, like, Korea has the lowest birth rate because people are not giving birth.
Mm.
Because they are reaching a point where they realize that
they need to choose themselves.
They need to choose themselves. And childbirth is not profitable because you finna have a child that you can't take care of. And then demand is always going to go. And according to that picture, according to that reel, the man is always going to go and continue his job while the woman has to stay with her child. And maternity leave is 2 years, and they'll give you leave for 2 years. I don't know if they pay you that whole 2 years, but you come back and they don't allow you to work because they quote unquote women don't have the time. Because first of all, your nanny, you keep your child with the nanny. At some point, you need to go and pick up your child.
Mm.
The father is not going to, because that's when he's going for Hweishik. When he has Hweishi, like this night, what do you call that thing? Where they go and drink beer with the work officers, work people. And you have some other obligations and you're working into the night. So it's the mother that has to go there and her workplace wouldn't want to, like...
And another thing I noticed maybe with this Koreans is that they... Look, in Japan, they have a saying that the world... I don't know exactly how it goes, but they have a saying that the person who wants to stand out, like, if everybody is on this level, on playing level, and you want to stand out, like, bring your head out, a bird will carry your head and go. So they have a saying like that, in which, that, and that saying is to keep the women the same way. They cannot be different. That's why if in this
keep
country...
Keep the women the same way?
Like, they can't say that, oh, I want to stand out, I want to be hip, or I want to, you know, be, you know, someone like Hwasa, Jesse... Mm. Those ones are the ones that remove their head.
Mm.
Somewhere like Korea,
they want to keep their women subservient,
and they want them to remain the same way. That's like women like that. I feel like another problem with Korea is that the women don't ask for what they want. They don't come out and say, "Look, tell your work people that you have a child to take care of. Look, go and get a paternity leave." Everyone is allowed to get a paternity leave.
They use it against you.
Exactly. They use the game.
Men do this thing. That's what they did to us now.
Talk about it.
Men do this thing where they gaslight women into thinking, making them think that they are helping their life and helping their ministry. So shut up and be grateful. That's what they did to me in that work. That's what they did to us in the office.
Yes,
and
exactly.
That's what men will always do. It's like, oh, you are even lucky that we gave you this job. Mm-hmm. Are you not more? I literally watched a Korean movie where they highlighted this, and by that they mean, if they want to employ you, they ask you if you're married.
if you're married, they won't give you the job because it's like, okay, so you get married and then you say you want to have children. What's the point of giving you a job where next year you say you're doing maternity leave?
Exactly.
Meanwhile, imagine a world where women are not giving birth. Men cannot go and give birth. So if all the women say they're not giving birth, your economy is going to go to the shit.
It's definitely going to go to the shit. And the thing, and another thing with Korea is that they're just so racist. Even with their economy going to shit, they're still racist against people who are coming to marry their people, give birth. Like, American women, they procreate with their men. The child will be Korean. The child will get bullied because the child looks exotic.
Like, you know, like, yeah, different as well.
Different.
And, you know, it's like willful ignorance. I notice that it's Asian definitely people, willful ignorance. When you watch YouTube and stuff and you're just exposed to them and how they think, it's mostly about, like, willful ignorance. Like, oh, we don't know how... We never go anywhere, so we're not used to... No.
Sometimes I don't even think it's ignorance. I just think they just want to do it.
And they just
and people are always like, oh, they're ignorant, like...
That's not an excuse ignorant. In 2023. Oh, my God.
It's not an excuse. Even their singers, their K-pop artists, they do some stupid, ignorant things. Then people will not be siding with them and say, oh, it's not them that's controlling their agency. These are adults. They have phones. Do your research.
You don't care. Like,
they are ignorant. They don't even care.
It's not their
business. So I feel like a good thing is that women now in Korea, they are like choosing themselves and they are standing up to what they want. Because they know that they can't rely on men to change. Rely on men to come back home early, help with the children. So they say, you know what?
We're not having kids.
We're not just going to have kids. That's extreme. And the men push them to those extremes.
Did you watch?
And them too, they need to start. A lot of
Kim Ji Young, 1982. Mm-hmm. That movie brought up an uprising in Korea in the year it came out. I can't remember. And the actor, the actress, it was Gong Yoo. That was the husband. The goblin. But the actress, I can't remember who was the actress. Funny enough, I feel embarrassed for not remembering her. Oh, I remember her. It was, let me check. I can't remember her name, but I remember her face. But let me check while I gist you about this movie. When the movie came out, it brought up a lot of uprising because it showed the life of women post-maternity, like post-giving birth. Kim Ji Young, born 1982. Apparently, it was a book, Young, born 1982. And you know, it's, I feel like it's gaslight. This thing that men do, I see, oh, women have problem, you know? If they talk, it's like, you're being too dramatic. Why are you being too dramatic? It's not even that serious. No, that's what my office is.
Like, I just can't. They're just mentally weak. You can just see it's low self-esteem and stuff like that. You can just see it and it's pathetic.
Jung Yumi as Kim Ji Young. Okay, so let me tell you. Let me read what this movie is about. It came out in 2019. It is a movie about... I'm coming, just give me like 10 minutes. It came out in 2019. It's a movie about a Korean woman experiencing some strange problems. She's a writer. She's a children's book writer. Or is it a script writer or something like that? And then she had a child, right? So here it says, the novel opens with a young Korean woman experiencing a strange problem. Kim Ji-young is fully impersonating other women she knows and does not seem self-aware of the fact. Her husband is concerned and she's taken in to get psychiatric help. The narrative then backtracks and tells us the storyline. Yeah, I remember now when I read this. Excuse me, I'm coming back in 10 minutes. Sorry. I remember when I'm reading this now about the movie, she was showing psychiatric distress. Like, she would be impersonating people, like, acting strange. She might be here now and be talking and be her normal Kim Ji-young self, but... And then just lash out and be acting as if she has split personality, like disorder, you understand? So the narrative then backtracks and tells us the story of the life of Kim Ji-young, including a short family history, her birth, growing up, and an adult life. The book presents not only the ordinary but trial hardships. The book, this film, when it came out, it caused an uprising where women started protesting. It kind of clicked in women's head after this movie that, oh my God, we have been actually taken for stupid. So they were protesting and everything. And around that time, I remember reading an article where men were... You know these people that they put camera in toilets and stuff like that? This book, this movie, Uprising, led to a lot of
strike.
It's good, it's good.
It gave voice to South Korean women.
Like, when people are talking about the low birth rate, and like when men are talking about it, I'm wondering, don't you know
they should go and give birth?
Don't you know the reason? Like,
they are the reason, but they can try.
But they will never admit that the reason. They'll just say, oh, women are so materialistic, they're so hypergamous now. Like, and men, they cannot make that much money to impress a woman, and that's the reason why women don't want to give birth. That is not the reason. Women have settled
for the longest time.
Women have been settling since forever. So the reason cannot be because of, oh, she just turned hypergamous. That's not the reason.
Women don't just do women things one day.
Yes.
In my office, we didn't just decide that we've had enough. Like, women just don't... Women. Like, men do that. Men, you piss off a man right now, a man will just come out and go. Right, a woman would
think about it,
be like, patient. You do it to her, you keep doing it to her until you push her to the wall. But think about women, as soon as you talk, all of a sudden it's like, but calm down. That's what used to piss me off about those red pill guys that you're telling me about. Those red pill Instagram guys, they're all stupid. And something I've come to a realization, bro, is the American. The American, something in their water. If you think about all the red pill guys, you know, they are not all Americans. Most of them are American. All of them I've seen.
Oh, they've lived in America for way too long.
Honestly, is that America?
I mean, when your country is too developed,
you have satisfied. I say you have eaten. Gakoshi. That's why you have time to be fighting. That's not fighting.
You have time to be fighting nonsense fight. And the fact is that, like, it's so disappointing to see how impressionable grown men are.
Like, I don't think it's being impressionable, not more or less. I feel like it's them actually harboring those feelings. It's not as if they're impressionable to, like, oh, because Andrew Tate came and said, oh, do this. No, they believed it to begin with.
Feelings, but I think that they're impressionable. Because, like, don't you have the sense to say, oh, wait, this sounds a little bit suspicious. This sounds a little bit wrong.
Even if it does sound a bit wrong, Mr. Kima, these men are going to benefit from accepting that it's not wrong. See, one thing I've realized about men is a man would never check another man, and humans are inherently disloyal. The moment Andrew Tate, for example, comes out and is like, oh, yeah, women are supposed to do this, Andrew Tate is favoring men. If he came out and he was favoring women, people, men would be anti whatever he has to say.
Yes.
But because he's favoring men, men stand most a lot more men to gain from liking him.
Yeah.
And because down deep down they believe in the things he's saying.
Mm. So that's, it's like, how, yeah, him too, he went to become Muslim.
I don't want to talk about that, his Muslim men things, but like, that his Muslimness is between him and God.
Look, that's like one of the reasons
why. And they're Muslim men, don't they're like, oh, did, yeah, that carry him on top of his head? Yeah, it's like, I would say he's now a Muslim, so let's pretend and close our eyes to every shit that he has ever done.
And okay, he's a girl that used to do rubbish before.
Let's say a porn star or something. Now became Muslim.
They won't even want to accept that.
I don't see anybody even marry her. I'm sorry.
They will not even celebrate her. But now some random olodo.
Allegedly rapist. Allegedly groomer. Allegedly sex trafficker.
And it's not just allegedly. He literally admitted to those things. Behaving, and they're still protecting him. They're still silent.
And they say, oh, brother. I feel like men, generally, anywhere they are, but you guys just give me the ick. I'm sorry. Y'all give me the ick, because, nah. Never, not all men, but always a fucking man. Anyways, yeah, it's always a fucking man. Readers are also not permitted the luxury of imagining men waiting in the wings to save women. All the novel's male characters except Kim Ji-young's husbands are left unnamed. Wow. I'm still reading about the book. When this book came out, I remember, I don't know if it's a book or the movie, but like, women were protesting different things. It is because of this book.
Really?
Kim Ji-young, but I think I still have it in my laptop. When they bring it, I'll check. But I think I still have it. Kim Ji-young, born 1982. They were anti the book.
Yeah.
They were sending death threats to the actress that did it. They were even sending death threats to the Gong Yoo, because why did he agree to be in this type of book against men? Men expect women to be undyingly grateful to them. Like, oh, we are saving you. Saving us from what?
That's what I told you that day, that, like, them in their head, because they are working.
You will work anyways. Exactly. And women, you're not the only one that do that work. Women work and don't say shit about the work they do. You don't see a woman coming to tell you, oh, I work and provide food on this table. But a man do one or two things and you expect me to...
In their head, like, they're doing it for you, for the woman. Like,
please, saying, I'm
doing it for you, myself. They're doing it for the woman. But the truth is that they're doing it for yourself, because if the woman does not give you what it is that you want, this thing that you want, the reply, the energy that you want, you won't be happy. So realistically, at the end of the day, you're doing it for yourself.
That's when a man will stop you and you say you don't. I said, do you know a guy tried to hit me with a car once because he stopped me on the road and tried to talk to me and I wasn't having it. I wasn't interested. And funny enough, by the fact that I'm even saying this next thing I'm about to say shows you there's a problem. I wasn't rude. I was quite polite. I wasn't interested in what he had to peddle and I was not having it. So he waited for me to move forward. He reversed his car and he hit me. I would have entered the gutter. That's a man. Not all men, but always a man.
The kind of crazy person.
I feel like right now, I would carry it down and break your glass. You're very stupid. See another headline. Korean men feeling besieged by Me Too are revolting against a novel about a stay-home mom. Are you not ashamed of yourself?
Like,
and you know,
petty.
Men, well, let's not even talk about men, because I feel like that's another whole ass episode. If I start talking about men, I'm not going to keep quiet. I have potatoes to do. I'm tired.
Petty, like.
So it's time for Maghrib, and we've talked for a while, so I'm just going to end this episode here. It's 1 hour, 10 minutes.
We started from what? We started from 15 years wedding.
We started from 15 years wedding, and classic. We're ending with the annoyance of men. So yeah, if you want to hate, please. You people know me by now, I give no fucks. Meet me next time, next Monday, on your favorite podcast. Please, I'm lying down. Today's episode is very raw. And yeah. Toodles.